prioritize some time to have fun together. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be some big creative thing, but it can simply be having fun together. Find those things that you like and enjoy. And I would tell couples, if you've been married more than 10 years, it's time to embark on some new things together. Discover some new ways you have fun together, because you're not at the beginning of your relationship anymore. This is not just another extension of dating or courting one another. You're now in a new phase of life to define some of those new ways you have fun.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. I'm Karen Conley, and we are so happy that you have joined us for this particular episode. I am in studio with Chris Conley, a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. And so many times we spend our podcast talking to you about leadership in the professional arena. But the truth of the matter is that we have leadership in our personal lives that is just as critical, and we would even make the argument maybe even more critical than your professional leadership. So today we have in studio with us Andy Savage, who is a teaching pastor at High Point Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Andy, we're glad to have you back today.
Thanks for having me back.
And let me say this about Andy, since I've known Andy for 15 years, and Andy is one of my closest friends, both on the personal and professional realm, literally one of the best I've ever seen. One of the best husbands, one of the best fathers, one of the best communicators, leaders I've ever seen. So the things that were in the last podcast on parenting, if you missed it, go listen to that podcast. And the things that you're going to hear in this podcast about marriage, I promise you he's the best kept secret in America when it comes to marriage. It's that secret starting to get out. He's in the process of writing a book on that subject. He's written some other books we're going to tell you about on marriage, but this stuff is pure gold. So stay tuned. You are going to benefit both in your personal and professional life.
And I'm going to take Chris anywhere I go to say that introduction anytime. That would be great.
Andy, this has been a passion of yours. If they'd missed the last podcast, you shared a little bit just about your family heritage. So catch our audience up of why this area of marriage has become really a passion of yours.
I did sort of a homespun research project a few years ago, and I took my grandparents on both sides, and then I traced our family all the way down to my generation in our family. I discovered at that point in time, there was over 500 years of unbroken marriage surrounding me, from aunts and uncles and grandparents, everyone around me. There was no divorce in my immediate family. So no divorce touches me firsthand. Since that project, there have been a few divorces from my cousins and an aunt. But all of my upbringing, all of my life, I grew up in this ideal world, this utopia of marriage all around me. Strong marriages everywhere. The ethic of a strong marriage and strong family was all around me. And when I did that little research project, it dawned on me that this is a stewardship I have. There's sort of a mantle sitting on my shoulders to share the learnings from that, to share the heartbeat and even the vision for that, that couples even getting married today, that they would adopt a mentality, this is how it will be in their family. They will choose to build the kind of lasting, loving, enjoyable marriages that produce a lifetime and a heritage that would bless their family all the way down. That's really the genesis of all of the heartbeat and the passion for marriage.
And Andy, you've truly been a good steward of that heritage, and we've seen you really dive in and become a specialist in this area of marriage. So as we relate this to one's professional life, one of the things that I've read is that in our professional lives, our 20s are years of preparation, 30s are years of implementation, and our 40s are kind of years of domination. What often happens a lot of times is in our 30s, our kids frequently are at the age where they require the most time and attention, but our career is also requiring the most time and attention. That's why a lot of people end up getting divorced in their 40s. So take that information and apply it to the importance of needing to build a foundation for your marriage and start your marriage off right. We have a class at High Point Church called Making Marriage Make Sense. Tell us a little bit about the importance of that class and that foundation.
You're hitting the nail on the head when we talk about preparing couples for marriage and building the right foundation. I mean, Jesus was famous for his story of building a foundation on the rock versus a foundation on the sand. And we immediately get that mental picture and know, well, if you're going to build a house, let's build it on a solid foundation. Similarly, marriage works that way. Relationships are subject to wind and rain and all sorts of challenges and difficulties. So foundation absolutely matters. Culturally, there's just been this swing where preparing for marriage doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. Let's just get married, and if we don't like it, we'll swap out the marriage. We'll get a new marriage. The reality is there's so much pain and tragedy that comes with that decision. It is far better on every level for everyone involved for you to get marriage right from the start than to get halfway through it or get a few years into it and decide you don't want this marriage. So we prioritize at our church helping couples start married life right through this class, Making Marriage Make Sense. So many couples in our church are young and getting married, and that demand was becoming too much to handle to give couples adequate premarriage counseling. So we started this class. Hundreds of couples have come through now to receive this training and receive this investment. And what we're seeing is couples are entering marriage far more eyes wide open, far more aware of what it takes to have a great marriage and what their relationship is made of, where their strengths and weaknesses are, and how they can address those moving into marriage.
Andy, one of the things that I have heard you say and I absolutely love is one of your goals is to break some couples up.
That's right.
But just that idea that they would be intentional enough that they could be honest as a couple walking in thinking, you know what, either we are engaged or we're seriously dating, that it is absolutely okay in your mind and in our mind if some of them go, the more I get into this and we start talking, this might not be the person that I need to marry.
That's not a fun desire, but it is a positive thing that happens through the course of this training course we have. Couples come through and they think they're ready for marriage, and then they realize they're not, or they're not ready to marry this person. We have actually had repeat customers in our class. Original couple breaks up, and then that individual gets into another relationship, gets engaged, and comes back to the class. One of those recently got married a few months back. And we see that because it is so important to get this decision right. This is one of the lifelong decisions you're going to make that will have probably the greatest personal impact on your life more than any other thing next to your relationship with God. And we got to get this right. So we take couples through a discussion foundationally about the issue of selfishness, that that is an ingredient in every person and every relationship that threatens the goodness of the relationship. So we talk about how God teaches us to deal with our selfishness, to depend upon Him, and to die to ourselves. And then we talk about all the things you might expect us to talk about. We talk about money, in-laws, sex, conflict, all the different issues you're going to face. We even help couples understand how to talk about expectations, what happens when expectations go unmet, how to deal with those issues. We really leave no stone unturned. Our hope is that couples see everything they need to see in order to make a really heads-up, God-honoring decision to get into marriage.
Not everyone listening to this podcast is in Memphis. They're all over the country and really around the world. So everyone listening is going, well, I wish I could go take this class. Well, I've got good news. In the near future, we'll also have that class available on video. But while people are listening to this, at least give some advice that if you were mom or dad and you had an adult son or daughter about to get married and they're coming to you, they want you to help obviously plan out the wedding and stuff. Talk about the importance of prioritizing the marriage more than the wedding.
And that's where most couples get off track. It is easy to plan for a wedding because it's an event. It's very tangible. It's all in front of us. But the more important piece is preparing for marriage. You got to build the marriage right, not just have a great wedding. So my advice to anyone out there, if you're a parent and your child comes to you and says, hey, we're getting married, or it's time to buy the ring, or we're engaged, you would strongly encourage, you would help in any way possible to get them the type of pre-marriage help and training that they need, just like you did when they needed to go to college, and just like they did when they needed that help in their sports endeavors, that you would come alongside them and say, well, if you want to do this, then let's get you the training you need. In the same way, if you want to get married, or your child wants to get married, a good parent will come alongside and say, well, let's get you the training you need, because marriage is not automatic with people. They need help.
So, Andy, we've got to build a foundation for our marriage. We've got to start our marriages right. But once we've started our marriages right, in the professional world, we're used to this concept of having metrics or having a dashboard in order to evaluate whether we're successful or not. So talk to us about just kind of this vision that you have of how to start marriages right, but then how to continue that process, and about this resource that you have called the Marriage Dashboard.
The Marriage Dashboard came out of this very thought of how do you strengthen marriages for a lifetime? Because that's where the grind of marriage is. We all have a lot of energy when it comes to getting married. Honestly, there's quite a lot of energy around dealing with crisis issues, like tragic issues in marriage. We all know we have to fix the problem. But what about the average marriage? What about the day in and day out? How do you continually improve a marriage? And so thought I had driving my car one day was, what if I could look at a dashboard like I look at the front of my car, and at a glance, I can tell whether my car's doing okay or not. not. It doesn't tell me everything, but it tells me enough to know that we're okay. I got gas in the tank. The oil's looking good. I got some tools to help me evaluate the well-being of my car. What if we could do that for couples? So we came up with this idea called the marriage dashboard, where there are five gauges on the dashboard that you can look at. And at a glance, if you think these things through a little bit, you know we're doing okay in that area. We're doing okay there. And you can do a quick evaluation on where you are. Then if something's not going well, then you know where you can put the work in to address those issues and improve those things. So that was the idea behind the marriage dashboard, to really equip couples with that ability to evaluate things.
So you're leaving us hanging.
Yes.
What are the five dashboard items that you focus on?
The five gauges on the marriage dashboard are, number one, start with God. Number two, have fun together. Number three, honor each other. Number four, live in community. And number five, fight for intimacy. So real briefly, I'll walk you through those. Start with God means, are you looking at your marriage through a lens of what God would want above what you would want? And that's really the trigger, because we all have our own sort of hopes and dreams and desires for the marriage, but God has his layer of expectations on marriage as well. And those expectations that God has are the ones that keep us on the right track. So when I get too selfish, then I start to harm the relationship. I start to be unreasonable with my spouse rather than start with God. So I always tell couples, wake up tomorrow and start your day with this prayer that's sort of a confession and a request. The confession is, God, I do not know enough to love my spouse the way you want me to today. So God, will you give me the wisdom to love my spouse the way you want me to love them? And then be mindful that God will bring those ideas to your mind. He will help you love your spouse better. But it starts with this place where we go to God first and we say, God, I want to hear from you more than I want to get my way in the marriage, which is usually where things get off track.
Andy, when you say start with God, that's building that foundation again. And I've heard you teach this many times, and the answer to what I'm about to ask is kind of obvious, but when you hear it, it's so profound as well and powerful. What is the number one problem in marriage?
It's always selfishness. It's always selfishness. I always tell couples, I'll be a broken record with this, selfishness is the enemy. We all know that we have sin living in us. And sin in relationships always comes out as selfishness. It's trying to get my way. And that's what Jesus told us. He says, if you want to come after me, if you want to do things my way, you must first deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. And I would think most people listening to this podcast would say, I would love a marriage that would function the way Jesus would want it to function. Then if that's the case, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It means starting with God.
And when we start with God, that gives us the ability to love God more. And when we love God more, that's the only way we'll love us less.
That's right.
We'll never just proactively go, oh, I'm going to love me less. I'm going to be less selfish. But when I do love God more, then my love becomes selfless instead of selfish.
Yes, and you've taught this principle for years, that your desires change. When you invest in your relationship with God, he changes your desires to want the things of God. That's why we start with God. You see someone out there that has a godly marriage, you say, man, I want that marriage. It didn't just happen. It's because they loved God so much that that love began to trickle into their married lives. And it's always said to couples, when you love God, you deepen the well of love you are drawing from to love one another. So loving God deepens the well. That's my experience with love. We love because he first loved us. That's the well of love I'm drawing from. If you operate selfishly, your well is very shallow and it's all about you. So you run out of love and you think, well, I don't love that person anymore. Your well was too shallow because it was all about you. Mm-hmm. When you start with God, that deepens the well.
Anyone who knows either of you, you guys have a heart for the Lord, you're in the ministry, they're going to expect you to start with God. Like, that makes sense on the first gauge, right?
Sure.
But the second gauge is all about having fun. Tell us why that is so important in a marriage.
Probably the most underrated issue in married life, especially for couples who've been married 5, 10, 15 years, the thrill is gone. Fun dries up because we have kids, we have careers, we're doing sports, we're busy, there's homework to do at night, there's meals to get ready, there's lunches to pack in the morning. All these things sort of suck the life out of marriage, or at least it can. So we encourage couples to prioritize having fun together. And I know that not every couple out there can have a weekly date night. That's okay. Prioritize some time to have fun together. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be some big creative thing. but it can simply be having fun together. Find those things that you like and enjoy. And I would tell couples, if you've been married more than 10 years, it's time to embark on some new things together. Discover some new ways you have fun together, because you're not at the beginning of your relationship anymore. This is not just another extension of dating or courting one another. You're now in a new phase of life to define some of those new ways you have fun.
Are you tired of going to Tiger games?
No.
Wait a second. Wait. I don't want to find something new. I mean, the Grizz and the Tigers, I mean, that should be fun forever.
Forever. That's right.
Something very important for our audience, all three of us around this table, our calendars are at capacity. So we get this world. You can't just wait for spontaneous fun. You have got to be intentional and plan it. If you're someone who's traveling, that's fine. Put it on the calendar and your spouse can look forward to it. Even that gives life to the marriage. You know what? We've got a busy week this week, but next week we've got this on the calendar.
That's right. And I think that prioritization communicates importance to people. When something's on the calendar, I know that it's been prioritized. When it's spontaneous, it's questionable, and no one wants to feel like their place in your life. Your spouse certainly doesn't want to feel like they're optional or they're not clearly defined. Clear definitions and commitments mean something. So to say, we're going to go out next Friday night, we're going to have some fun together, and we're putting it on the calendar, and nothing else gets to knock this off the calendar. That says priority, that says important, and that communicates big time to your spouse that they matter to you.
And especially, I think, is true for women, is that it gives them something to look forward to. When it's spontaneous, yeah, you appreciate it when it happens, but if it's on the calendar and you're battling all these other things that you're juggling and trying to keep the balls in the air, you can go, at least I know I'm going to be taken out of the role of mom for a period of time, and I'm going to be placed back in the role of wife, going to have the opportunity just to enjoy some time with my husband.
That's right. And there's a reality that when we look at our calendars and we see empty space on the calendar, without saying a word, we attach certain personal expectations to empty space on the calendar. So when you spontaneously say, let's go spend some time together, you are now intruding upon someone's expectations, even though it was never discussed or brought up. To put it on the calendar says, we already agree, we already have this time marked out, and we share an expectation that this will be a time that we get to spend together.
Karen,
fun.
Can you speak into that empty space dynamic?
My unspoken expectation. I think every moment of my world is spoken for, and most women, that is the same way. So you're right. It does help me to go, hey, let's go out and do this. And I'm thinking, that was my 2 hours to catch up on what I didn't get done today.
That's right.
All of a sudden, I'm conflicted. I'm trying to figure out, I know I want to have fun, but how do I catch up? Whereas if it's on the calendar, I can anticipate that. And even mentally, I can say, this is a higher priority, and I can make that decision to go into it fully present instead of thinking, oh gosh, yes, let's go to the movie, but I hope it's not a long one because I got to get back and get my to-do list done.
So the third gauge of the five on the marriage dashboard begins with the word honor.
Yes.
And honor is a concept that is losing its value, its respect, its significance in our culture today. Talk about the importance of this third gauge.
Yes, honor each other. In fact, I've often said, everybody knows what honor is until you ask them to define it. It's hard to put words to, but we know it when we see it. When someone of importance walks in the room, we stand to attention. When a woman is coming to the door and we open the door for her, we see that as an act of honor to open the door for a woman. There's these things we see that communicate honor, but when you say, what does it mean to honor someone? It's hard to put words to it. One of the words I want to put to it is going to sound so simple, but it is a way that you funnel honor into your relationship, and that is with common courtesy, good manners. The words please and thank you. Those type of interactions create just an atmosphere of honor. When your spouse brings you something to drink at your meal and you say, thank you, knowing that they did not have to do that. And you say thank you to them. That communicates honor. When you encourage your children to obey their mother or their father, and you're supporting your spouse in that act, that's a way to honor your spouse. So we're elevating our spouse to a different place.
And I would just say, as a voice of caution to leaders out there, so many times if you are in a leadership role, you walk into a work environment, you are in charge, you are calling the shots, and it is very easy to take that mentality, even though you should also show common courtesy in the workplace. There are times where your level of success, maybe you think they do work for me, that you take that same mentality back to your home, to your husband or to your wife.
You don't have any experience in this, do you?
None.
Okay, I
have never said I am not your assistant. Never. Sue is amazing. But there are times where I just realize he's still in work mode. He's trying to get through his things. And I'm thinking, I'm your wife. A please and a thank you goes a long way. It's important as leaders to make that a part of your culture within your workplace and then carry it home.
So the fourth gauge, set that one up for us.
It says, live in community. This might be a foreign concept to some. Think friendship. Think the people that you surround your life with. Generally speaking, you can take the five or six people you call your closest friends. You can predict the outcome of the next few months or years of your life. The people that you surround yourself with determine where you go in life. Your friends make or break you. So I believe every married couple needs other healthy married couples around them. They need friends. So there's a sense of community in your life that you're willing to live in that. And one of the great benefits of that is my wife and I, when Amanda and I are around Chris and Karen, we get to see you guys interact. It's like a chance for me to evaluate my marriage without it being pointed at me. I just get to learn from you. I just get to see you interact. And it just improves my marriage because you do not outswim the current of your closest friends. And so to get in the current with some people that are good examples and good marriages around you, it will strengthen your marriage.
And we also know the opposite is true. How many times have we heard a story where someone's going through a divorce and that spouse is always listening to this other person complain about their spouse and how that negativity begins to enter into your own marriage?
Absolutely. And that's where you want to really select the right people around you. Some mix of ages, but you want people that you can somewhat look up to and run with in marriage so that you can grow and continue to be all that you can be for your spouse. And that example and those friends are so vital in that process.
So my favorite gauge of the five is the fifth gauge. So tell us about the fifth gauge.
Fight for intimacy. And I put two words you almost never see next to each other on purpose, fighting and intimacy. I want couples to understand, number one, that intimacy is not only about sexual intimacy. It's about intimate relationship. It's increasingly becoming one in your marriage in every conceivable way, in the way you communicate, in the way you interact, and certainly in the physical and sexual part of the relationship. But we also have to recognize that that intimacy doesn't happen by accident. It requires us to put forth a lot of effort. We have to fight for that, especially busy, high-achieving people. Intimacy becomes very difficult because the time you spend with your spouse is always limited. So you have to make the most of those moments. You have to put forth the fight, and you have to fight to stay close, fight to communicate effectively, fight to coordinate your schedules. It requires much more effort the busier and more complex your life is.
This marriage dashboard book in the video, you had the privilege of teaching that at Buckhead Church, which is one of the campuses by North Point Church. Andy Stanley's the pastor, one of the most respected and fastest growing churches in the country. Tell everybody where they can get that resource so they can begin to go through that together as a married couple.
Highly encourage you to do this. Couples go through this together. Really, it creates a great conversation point. The book takes you through all five gauges and gives you some homework assignments that you can read through. They're not real challenging or difficult, but you answer some questions and it creates some great talking points in your marriage to improve in each of these gauges to improve your marriage. I was able to teach this to Buckhead Church and they ate it up. It created an opportunity for all of their small groups to go through it. All the small groups at our church have gone through it as well. We're seeing so many couples benefit from this interaction and we're seeing marriages get stronger every day.
I can assure you from being with Andy for 15 years and him being the teaching pastor at High Point Church, if you were to talk to your pastor and have Andy come in and do a marriage event or a parenting event, it will be an incredible success and there will be a no regret guarantee. I promise you that every single person will have an incredible experience, will love it. So Andy, tell them how they can follow you and get in touch with you.
Would love for you to go check out my website and my blog. All that information, all those resources are available at andysavage.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Andy Savage.
As we get to the end of our time together, we cannot have a conversation about marriage without acknowledging the broken marriages and the challenges that our culture faces with so many divorces and remarriages one of the things I love about your class is you've got couples that are coming back. They have been divorced. They have healed from that divorce. God has brought someone else into their life, and they're wanting to start this second marriage outright. Mm. So there is hope for every person in that world. We're familiar with Reengage, a ministry that if you're just out there thinking, it is too far gone, the gauges are all on empty, what do I do? What would you say to that person?
First of all, there is no marriage that God can't heal. And I always encourage couples, if you can stir up just enough faith to believe that God can do a miracle in your marriage, then He can, and He will, if you give Him the opportunity. That is not a promise that will be easy. There's always work that has to go in, but marriages can be healed no matter what the difficulty is. Most couples who are in crisis marriage situations, difficult marriage challenges, it's very hard for them to see the hope of a future. So it is vital that you go to someone who can help you see hope where you don't normally see it. I have the privilege of sitting with lots of couples in this situation, and it is much easier for me to see the way out than they can. They just don't see it. They're in the weeds and the trees. They just don't see the way out. That is why it's so important to go get some help, whether it's through a program like we offer, like Reengage, or if you go see a counselor or a trusted pastor to walk you through some issues. I will tell you this, if you think you might be having marriage problems, you are already late to get the help that you need. Every couple I sit down with is weeks or months late to reach out for help. So the sooner you can stop the problems, the sooner that you can recognize things aren't going like they should, then go get the help you need. There is no shame in asking for some help in your marriage. Everybody goes through those seasons. It's just wise to go and get the kind of help you need. If you have a car problem, you'll take it to a mechanic. If you have a marriage problem, go see a counselor or a pastor and say, we need some tweaking here. We need to get some work done on our marriage and improve things that are going on in our married lives.
And we can't encourage people enough. Go and make the effort, make the investment. I can't remember how many times Chris and I have walked with couples, and sometimes you do. You think it would be easier just to start over. And the truth is, it is a hard journey either way. But if you're able to walk through that journey with your spouse and come out to the other side, there is no telling the amount of blessing on that, and the smaller amount of damage and the loyalty that has been built walking through that challenge. There are tons of resources out there, and certainly at andysavage.com. ChrisConley.net, KarenConley.com. We want to be available to you and point you to resources within your area, wherever you live. So we are so grateful that you have joined us today. We hope that leaders all across this country and internationally have been helped, that they have thought about their marriage and putting it as much a priority in their life as everything else, elevated above that other stuff. It is temporary. That marriage is for a lifetime. Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information on Lead Like Jesus or their newest resource, Lead Like Jesus Revisited, go to leadlikejesus.com.